So if you're looking for a little adventure in your life, maybe a trip to Afghanistan to fight in the war there, does this resonate at all with you?
I am an American soldier.
I'm a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values.
Recruiting commercials are just one of the tools the Pentagon has in trying to get officers and top people in the military in both battlefields, Iraq and Afghanistan. But this morning, Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, has a piece on the difficulties the Army has in using any of its tools to get top field experienced officers to join the ranks in the Afghan war. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Why aren't the tools working, and who is it that the Army is really trying to get here?
Well, this is actually a program for all the services, not just the Army. But what's happening here is the new commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, along with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, have decided last fall they wanted to create a new program where they would recruit internally now. This is with people who are already in the services, people who have preferably served in Afghanistan, who would be willing to commit to serving there up to 5 years. And what would happen is you would rotate assignments both in the field and you'd come back to headquarters, whether it be in Washington or somewhere else, but continue to work the same issues. So there'd be continuity in expertise, continuity in policy, and that you'd go back and forth. And rather than having plugging in new officers who hadn't served in a particular area of Afghanistan or didn't know the region very well and having to kind of learn all over again, these would be people who'd be experienced and could plug them right in. They'd be ready to go.
Now, basically, you're describing a system which tries to share the sort of burden of actual field command there. But, you know, I want to back you up here, Eric. It's my understanding that if you're a colonel, okay, and a general comes to you and says, go to Afghanistan for 5 years, that you have to obey that order. Why is this a problem?
Well, the services have a traditional kind of career paths and where they expect people, obviously, if you get an assignment to go to Afghanistan, you go. But right now the system is you go for anywhere from about 7 or 8 months to a year, and then you come back, and then you normally rotate into a different assignment. It could be something completely different, logistics or a desk job in the Pentagon doing something completely different. What they want to do is be able to capture that experience and use it and leverage it. And so what they're saying now is we want to have a small group of people, maybe up to 900 officers and enlisted troops and a small number of civilians who would participate in this program, who would remain doing this kind of expertise for a good chunk of their career. And that's different than the way the services normally operate.
So the incentive is this is a fast track. This is really good for your career. That's the message if you do this. And I'm presuming there are possibly some other possibly financial incentives in there, but it's not working. Why?
Well, it breaks the normal career path mode, and what for somebody to basically say I'm going to commit to this one area of study or one focus for up to 5 years, it could take them out of their normal command rotations. Many in the military go to postgraduate school; it could take them out of that. And so when they come up for their promotion boards, the people who engage and study that are looking at this new experience say we don't quite know how to value that. And so what Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is telling the service chiefs in this memo that I wrote about today is, hey, you've got to value these guys. You've got to go out and find people that are really good, get them to volunteer, and then we have to reward them for doing this, keep them on the career path so they can become generals and admirals down the road, because we want to make this an incentive for them to join.
So Mullen really wants to up the incentives here, even take it beyond what the Army and the rest of the services believe is already a pretty good incentive. Now, the Bush administration, you know, famously played a lot with the sort of deployment schedules for, say, reservists in Iraq. Is there any sign that the new Pentagon under Barack Obama is going to play with the deployment schedules and traditions at higher levels of the ranks?
No sign of that yet. And as a matter of fact, there's been a great effort since the new administration came in, and this is obviously was a goal during Bush, but they couldn't do it because of Iraq, is to shorten the, basically both shorten the tour duties if they can, but more importantly, increase the amount of time that soldiers and officers spend at home once they return from duty. Too often they were spending as a year or maybe even less before they had to redeploy to Iraq or Afghanistan. Now they're trying to get that up to at least a year and a half, maybe even 2 years if possible.
And what does this mean strategically on the ground? I mean, what are the gaps that we're going to possibly see? I mean, the surge, of course, isn't going to be at its peak until sometime in the summer of this year, I understand, and maybe you can correct me on that. But what are the possible gaps here if they don't meet these expectations?
Well, if they don't meet the expectations, it'll be obviously first a great disappointment for this. But what it'll do is it will just make, I think, the mission already more difficult. The troops in Afghanistan, the commanders there, General McChrystal, are under incredible time constraints to show, to reverse the momentum of the Taliban, to show they're making progress in protecting the people, in reducing the violence, and to also improve governance, of course, and conditions on the ground. This cadre of people that they're trying to build up and instill is meant to try to accelerate that process, and also looking beyond just the next year or two, but the next 5 years, thinking, you know, the long-term strategic partnership that the military and the U.S. government will have with Afghanistan and Pakistan, have this kind of core of experts that will be familiar with the issues, familiar with the terrain when they're on the ground, and can make things happen quicker than if you just have your standard specialist, your standard trooper or officer going in there.
Finally, Eric, I know it when you Times guys hate it when I try to push you into wildly speculative areas, but is there any sign that this is an issue of competition between McChrystal's favoring kind of special ops and sort of small deployments, small units, versus the traditional Pentagon in the way they're trying to recruit here?
Well, that certainly was the initial, I think, some suspicion initially on the part of the services. McChrystal is modeling this after his what he worked when he was working commando teams and overseeing special operations forces. But it's now got buy-in and support from obviously the nation's top military officer, and increasingly from the service chiefs themselves.
Interesting. Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much.